This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, having a conversation with the author, the literary author, Roya Hakakian. She has a new book. It says it's a story both of her life and the life of other immigrants around her in these last decades, entitled A Beginner's Guide to America for the Immigrant and the Curious. 9/11, Roya's native land, my grandparents' native land, is Iran. 9/11 was a day in which Iran was back in the story. It's never really been out of the story since 1979 for the United States, but back in the story, and a scene in Roya's book, a man living in Queens who has a view of the skyline of Manhattan, as you do in buildings in Queens, high-rises in Queens. Mm-hmm. And the skyline can resemble Tehran. He's lonely mm-hmm. for his native city. And yet mm-hmm. the day of the attack, he sees... Well, at some point he hears the news and then he can see the burning. What is that moment for this man, Roya?
Well, the man was my dad, and I saw something in him that day that changed my view of immigrants in America altogether. My father used to sit on the balcony, look at the skyline and write poems about how much he missed Iran and how much he missed Tehran. And I believed all along that he had not bonded with this country, that as much as, he was grateful about being admitted here, he still longed to return, and he didn't have the feelings he had for Iran, for America. And that day, as soon as he saw the smoke in the sky and saw on the news that a terrible thing had happened, he put his shoes on. He had macular degeneration, so he could hardly see. But he reached for his cane, and he made his way out of the apartment. When I asked him where he was going, he said he'll be right back. He didn't respond. And then he came back with the biggest American flag he had been able to find at the store around the corner. And he hung the flag from the railings of the balcony. Now, I have to tell you that I had known my father all my life, and he had never been one for flags. He had never been, someone who associated himself with such symbolic things. And yet I saw that he found in himself something he even didn't know existed in him, which was a deep love and appreciation for America, which that day of disaster revealed to him.
You cite the possibility that this will happen repeatedly to immigrants over the centuries, because as a nation of immigrant, there's a moment when you become something that is no longer in the old country. It's both in the old country and now this is your country. You mm-hmm. cite the possibility of a natural disaster. I believe the example you use is the San Francisco earthquake of 1905. You cite the example of Pearl Harbor. And mm-hmm. both instances, in San Francisco, it was an opportunity for the Chinese Americans, the Chinese immigrants, to become Americans. And in Pearl Harbor, it was an opportunity for the Japanese Americans, who were brutalized by the regime, mm-hmm. but to transform themselves into patriotic Americans. And many of them served in the U.S. military. So that mm-hmm. possibility was always there for immigrants as well. I want to take you then into the experience of the diaspora, because mm-hmm. it is not all positive. You write mm-hmm. there are moments when you're in the, quote, firm grip of loneliness. Why, Roya, mm-hmm. given all the positives you find in your new land, what is the loneliness about?
Well, because we have come to self-esteem, right? I mean, there are beautiful cars, the weather is, the air is clean. The electricity is not interrupted for the most part. Things work here. And that's really significant for most of us who come from places where the infrastructure keeps failing. And yet, what keeps persisting is loneliness, because America places so much value on the individual, and because placing so much value on the individual makes us turn in to ourselves rather than our families and communities for the most part.
And that creates loneliness. I puzzle also. Poetry is dominant in the cultures of Central Asia. I've never traveled to Iran, and for reasons that are obvious. I did fly mm-hmm. over it once, and I looked down upon mm-hmm. Lake Urmia, and that was a thrill. Boy, I mean, you know, I saw where my grandparents were born. Indeed. And maybe someday, you understand, maybe. But I've been in Central Asia where poetry, poets are celebrated mm-hmm. hundreds of years later. We don't mm-hmm. do that. I mean, we have our poets, but mm-hmm. It's not a commonplace topic. Does that mm-hmm. make you lonely for your land, that poetry is not extolled here, that we have, mm-hmm. well, as you write, we're planners, we're not poets.
Mm-hmm. Precisely. I mean, but you have to understand that it wasn't, that poetry was not just about literature, or, you know, it was an exercise as a form of art. It was also a way for people to connect. Something that I found, as soon as my parents were here in America, they started doing, before they were doing anything else, was that they had organized what they knew they had always done with their friends back in Iran. They had poetry parties, poetry gatherings, regularly. So, they would get together on Sunday nights at someone's home. There would be some form of dinner, and they would sit around and recite poetry. And, you know, every time I mention that to my, you know, whenever my American friends ask what my parents were doing, you know, on Sunday evening, and if I told them that they were, you know, with their friends at a poetry party, people were stunned. But that was sort of a routine way of people finding an excuse to communicate and to get together. And poetry was just the conduit for all that.
Coming to America and becoming an American citizen, naturalized, is the ambition. Mm-hmm. You mm-hmm. take us to an historical incident, the arrival of a Persian, this is 1870s, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. introduced to the President of the United States, Ulysses Grant, mm-hmm. and granted citizenship. What did that Persian man, that world traveler, mm-hmm. see in America that made him want to be an American citizen in 1875?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think he is sort of the first Iranian to bring us all here to America. His name was Haj Sayyah, which means, you know, the traveler. And he had just left home in search of something. I'm not sure he knew himself what it was that he was searching for. But he had gone everywhere. He had learned several languages. He had been received by the Pope and by various kings throughout Europe. And by the time he came to America, he had seen the world, known what there was, and then found in America something that he fell in love with. And he coined a term for that find. He coined a term, human rights, which had never existed in Persian language before. So he's the person who introduces the term into Persian. And so when Grant asks him, why is it that you love America so much above every other place that you've been to? He says to him, because you have human rights, because you recognize the value of the individual and the rights of the individual more than any other place I've ever been to. And so President Grant asked him, so what is it that you wish to have in America from me? What can I do for you? And he says, because of this, I want to become an American citizen. And President Grant arranges for him to become a U.S. citizen, and he becomes the first Iranian American.
That's December 1874. The citizenship is in May of 1875. And because mm-hmm. life is not a screenplay, there's a twist in mm-hmm. ending here.
Yes.
The visitor, who is now an American citizen, returns mm-hmm. to America, but America wants to maintain good diplomatic relations with Persia, with the Ottoman Empire mm-hmm. then in charge. And so because mm-hmm. the man has been an outlaw back home by speaking out for human rights, the American government deports him because he's not one of us, though he has citizenship.
Right. So what happens is that he meets with President Grant. He becomes a citizen. Then he's sort of restless, as he had always been in his life, and he goes back to Iran. He doesn't know why he goes back to Iran, but that's who he has become. He's happy to be in America because he sees what there is here. But then after a while being here, you know, just like all diaspora, he also has a longing that he can fulfill about his home country. So he falls into that trap and he goes back to Iran. And as soon as he goes back to Iran, they find out that he, you know, he keeps talking about, you know, the beauty of America and the values that he has learned and the things that he thinks that Iranians need to have. And he pisses people off and gets himself arrested and chained and shackled in a prison. And while he's in this Iranian prison, he finds a moment to get away and he runs, and takes shelter in what would later became, what would later become the first American embassy in Tehran. And the, interim ambassador takes him in, then sends a cable to Washington and says, I have this fellow here, Hart Sayah, in my custody. I've given him sanctuary. He has good naturalization papers and it seems that he truly is an American. What should I do with him? And that's when Washington writes back and tells the interim ambassador, well, he is indeed an American, but don't forget that he's also a Muslim and he is not worth marring or upsetting relations with Iran. So cut him loose whenever you have to. He's not worth the trouble of keeping if it's going to upset our relations with Iran, which was a very sad thing to find when I read it.
Diplomacy, when we come back, yeah. Diplomacy, yeah. In the 21st century. The book mm-hmm. is A Beginner's Guide to America for the Immigrant and the Curious. Roya Hakakian is the author. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.